So take a second and recall this scene. For some of you, it might mean rewinding just back a few weeks. For others of us, it may mean a few decades or more. But it's the first day of school. And you walk into the cafeteria and you look around and you try to gauge where your friends are sitting. Or you at least try to figure out which people look like they might be friendly. A million things are running through your mind. What happens if I can't figure out where to sit? What happens if I sit with people who are cooler than me? What happens if I sit with people who are lower down the social ladder than I see myself as? How do I even know where people fall on the social ladder? Is there a social ladder to begin with? Hey, they look nice, but she doesn't. So maybe over here, and then your feet have taken you to a table in a matter of seconds, and you sit down. You see, I have a hard time recalling these cafeteria experiences without seeing glimpses of the cafeteria breakdown scene from Tina Fey's movie Mean Girls. You see, in this movie, Lindsay Lohan, she's new at school, and she's actually new in the country because she spent her childhood growing up in Kenya. So she's in an American high school now, and the only person she's met in school makes a sketch of the cafeteria, drawing out each of the tables, and begins pointing to each one and explaining, now where you sit in the cafeteria is crucial. Now, you've got your freshmen, your ROTC guys, your preps, your JV jocks, your varsity jocks, girls who eat their feelings, girls who don't eat anything, desperate wannabes, and on she goes. So, lucky for us, this cafeteria seating scene is short-lived, hopefully a short-lived portion of our lives, normally relegated to those first few days of school, only a few years out of our lives. You see, I'm someone who loves the first day of school, and I loved all the rituals that came with it. I loved finding out who my new teachers were. I loved learning what electives I had for the semester. I loved seeing what friends would be in my class, getting to know what books you got to read, hoping that your teacher assigned you to sit next to the cute boy whose last name was really close to yours. You know, all of those good first day of school things. But I went to a really large school, and we had four different lunch shifts. And finding your place in the cafeteria, understanding those unspoken seating arrangements, that was never a first day of school ritual that I looked forward to. But our gospel lesson for today, our gospel lesson is all about seating assignments, seating arrangements. But to really understand what Jesus is getting at, we first have to understand a bit about Palestinian wedding feasts during Jesus' time, and their own seating rituals that came with them. You see, at these wedding banquets, male guests would usually recline on couches, with the center couch reserved for the people of honor. The people sitting in the place of honor were chosen because of wealth and power and office. And if a more prominent man arrived late, as often happened, someone of a lesser rank was asked to move to a less prestigious position. Ouch. Open up. It's time to eat humble pie. We've all been there. And no one likes eating humble pie. It is the least delicious of all the pies around. And so Jesus offers some practical advice for people to choose the lowest place, so that you can be invited up instead of being humiliated when you're moved to the lower seat. It's good advice. Choose a seat so you avoid humiliation. Be humble. At face value, Jesus' words could just be about plain courtesy or a bit of worldly advice on etiquette or handy hints on do's and don'ts of table decorum, especially when there's a pecking order and tact really matters. And the message, it turns out to be pretty straightforward. Decent manners get you places in the end. But Jesus is doing more than giving a biblical mismanners lesson. Instead, Jesus is highlighting the ways in which the realm of God establishes its own social and spiritual order, and how trying to presume a place in that order is unwise and perhaps even unfaithful. You see, Jesus regularly shares his table with the types of people that those with conventional values turn away from. The lepers, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. From one society to another, from one era to another, there seem to be different lists of those from whom respectable people expect to keep at a distance. And Jesus' challenge reaches across boundaries of place and time, calling us to be more aware of the people that we often try to avoid eye contact with. Remember the outsider. Interact with the lowly. Be humble. But humility is, of course, notoriously elusive. And that's why, of all the hard sayings of Jesus, few are harder than those about humility. Think about what we've just heard in Luke 14. Jesus gets to eat dinner at a Pharisee's house, and he watches how some guests make a beeline for the best seat in the house. And I mean, let's be honest. Who, when given the choice, would choose the partially obstructed view of the stage when you could have front and center balcony seats that are open for you? Who would choose to turn down the center couch? Who walks past the seat of honor? It seems we have an all too human drive to seek the best seat in the house. But if our quest for humility is for humility's sake, then it may just be impossible. If we choose the lowest seat all the while expecting to be brought up to the position of honor, and then we stew in our own anger when we perhaps are left at the seat that we had chosen, at that time, perhaps we aren't served humble pie, but are we really any better off than the person who was moved to the lower seat to begin with? You see, the quest for humility, it must be about more than simply humility itself. And that's where Jesus' words in verses 12 to 14 come into play. Jesus not only has suggestions for the partygoer, but he also has suggestions for the host. We are not to fall prey to elitism by thinking that inviting those who can return the invitation is a sign of faithful witness. Jesus is clear who should be invited. People who are the very fabric of God's realm. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. We're supposed to take what God has given us and invite those who most need to be included in the fold. To dinner, to our lunch table, into our home, into our pews. The quest for humility's sake, may be elusive. But when the quest for humility is rooted in the desire to be like Christ, and not the desire to store up spiritual brownie points to display our own goodness, or to ultimately get to that seat of honor. But when that quest is rooted in Christ, that's when we're getting it. When we get that the heart of becoming humble is less about seeking blessings and less about seeking the seat of honor and more about living our lives to bless others. that's when we get it. That quest for humility rooted in discipleship. And when it is, it seems that it reminds me of Pope Francis. Just months after he became Pope, stories of him began to surface in all sorts of media outlets. It was a scandal. The Pope was sneaking out of the Vatican at night. But to where? Dressed as a regular priest, he'd duck past his security detail, head out into the city, out to see the homeless in Rome, to break bread with them, to sit with them on the street, to offer them Holy Communion, to eat with them, to remind them that they are truly loved. It wasn't just a good thing that Pope Francis did. It was an essential part of who he is and was. But as Pope, he's supposed to be behind protective, bulletproof glass of the Pope-mobile. But for Francis, it was worth the risk. Because if he can't be among the people, among the lowly, with the ones that Jesus lived among, then he'd lose his perspective. He loses that spark within him. He loses touch with the spirit within him. That part of him that made him a good candidate for Pope to begin with. It's that quest, the desire to be a blessing to others, that makes him the humble person he is. He doesn't want or need our accolades. He didn't need another news story. He didn't need any more spiritual brownie points. He certainly wasn't looking for the best seat in the house when he sat on the curb with people who other people averted their eyes from. He just wants to serve, just wants to bless others. And so as we go forth from here, may we seek to live our lives that we might bless others as well. Amen.